oh yeah, you could write sustainability songs. And I was like, well, like I could, but I don't want to be so on the nose because people can get that from a PDF.
Hi, I'm Zena Harris, a founder and entrepreneur working in the entertainment industry for more than 10 years now.
And I'm Mark Raven, a two-time founder and innovator in the energy tech industry and spent the last decade powering films, events, and festivals with renewable energy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Tie-In. Today, we are speaking with Vienna Tang, a songwriter, performer, and organizer. She's been featured on NPR, The Late Show, recorded albums for Rounder, Universal Records, and her music garners over 450,000 annual listeners on streaming services. A former sustainability fellow at McKinsey, Vienna was named one of Grist's 50 climate innovators to watch in 2025 for her work with music fans to advance climate and civic action in their own lives and communities. Welcome to The Tie-In.
I am so thrilled to be here, Zena. Mark, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. So, Vienna, you've had a very interesting background and definitely keen to hear about that. Your timeline looks something like software engineer at Cisco, career in music, then back to school for environmental sustainability, then McKinsey Sustainability Fellow, then back to music in 2022 with climate action woven through. Do we get that right? And how do these worlds intersect and collide?
Yeah, it does sound like long-term ADHD, right? I feel like I always go deep into things for like, you know, 7 years at a time or something like that. I have often been asked this question, and it makes sense, right? Like, how do all these things relate to each other? Mm-hmm. And I don't have a clean answer for that. I think I just love a lot of different things and a lot of ways of thinking and being in the world and, like, engaging with other people. So I think the one thing that feels like a through line is that solving problems that involve some empathy or perspective taking has always felt really fun to me. And I think that that was a through line. Like when I was doing software engineering, I focused a lot on kind of like UX, like, you know, user experience and interface design type stuff. And then when I was a musician, obviously, and am a musician, a lot of that has to do with, you know, really figuring out like, what do I want to say that would also feel resonant with other people? And like, what would be exciting for all of us? And how do then I get into like the nuts and bolts of the background vocals or the sound of the keyboard, you know, whatever, to like kind of make that happen. And then in sustainability, I found that so much of it was about understanding what do different stakeholders want, like what are the specific priorities and problems they're trying to solve, and like how do we thread all that together into something that everyone's excited or at least, you know, interested in moving forward on together. So I feel like I obviously wear different hats and kind of like almost take on different personas in those different worlds, but also that maybe feels like the through line. It's like fun problem solving with, you know, a lot of empathy woven through it.
Mm-hmm. I love that because there's a lot of different angles to take in each one of those. And the through line of problem solving, I mean, isn't that what, you know, engineering at the heart of it is really all about? So maybe we could dub a new title, sustainability engineer here. So.
And also sometimes just trying to write a lyric that works well for verse 3, you know, is its own
totally
puzzle too.
Yeah. So with that, you spent time working in sustainability in sort of a conventional way. And from what we read, we're thinking like, you know, clean energy access and recycling systems in the global south. Can you kind of talk us through that and what you learned from those kinds of experiences and how you apply that now through a more creative or artistic lens?
Yeah, I really enjoyed that period of my life when I was not a musician, because I felt like being behind the scenes felt really good. Mm-hmm. I began to be a little suspicious of being applauded every 5 minutes, like when I was a performer on stage. I'm like, is this more about my ego or is it about actually of service? And so it felt really good for about a decade to just be completely behind the scenes, especially as a consultant, not even as, you know, the principal actors who are like bringing clean energy onto the grid or, you know, figuring out how to phase out gas systems or, you know, build new waste diversion systems. I just really loved showing up to that kind of work. And like we were saying earlier, like really listening to someone first and saying, mm-hmm. what's your current situation? Here's the thing. I'm coming, you know, with my organization to you with of like, here's the problem that we think needs to be solved. Like, how does that jive with what you're currently worried about? What keeps you up at night? What, you know, what are the things that are most important to you? And once we kind of had that conversation and we had some trust going, then a lot of things would become possible. And that was true whether we were working with, you know, a gas and electric utility that had, you know, two different sides of the house and, you know, with different priorities about, you know, clean energy transition, or with, you know, waste workers or, you know, scrap collectors in the global south, like in Southeast Asia or in Latin America, who were saying like, look, you know, it comes down to like, I got to feed my family, and however you can help make that happen, or if you can like provide childcare while I'm doing that, you know, like whatever the problem was, it was really interesting to kind of sit with like, what is your life like and what are you thinking about now, and how do I slot our shared priority into, you know, making that happen within the constraints that you have.
And so you've taken, were you thinking the whole time when you're in these different consulting roles and scenarios, you were putting yourself in their shoes, were you always thinking, okay, that's a lyric there, that's a song, or this is a topic? Because I mean, that's, you know, songwriters and artists are always pulling from the day to day, which seems mundane, I guess, in a way, but then taking it and making it relatable to, you know, massive audiences.
Absolutely. I honestly feel like I am not a pure musician and artist in that way, because that part of my brain just sort of shut off for those years. And I'm really kind of rediscovering it now. And you're right that my favorite thing is to really think about like all these experiences that I've got to have, like really trying to understand where someone was coming from or understanding their story and their life and their experience. What's the song in there? There's so many songs, you know, potential in there. And that's been really fun to just kind of see what comes out for me in this current phase of making music. Like, I just finished actually writing a song for a fan, you know, who supports me on Patreon, and he actually does work in like, you know, genetic sequencing. And so I like just did a deep dive on his work and his background, because he has cystic fibrosis, and that was what was driving his passion for what he does. And it was just super fun, like, you know, kind of taking his story and making it into a song. So I'd love to do that more, kind of, you know, then going backwards into the archives to think of like, who have I gotten to walk alongside in sustainability work, and whose story could I tell in a song? I feel like that's kind of my next project at the moment.
That's so interesting. I hadn't heard quite that angle on fan engagement, where you're literally like working with someone, one of your fans, to create create music and write a piece that relates to them, or that they, you know, inspired by them. So that's really interesting. Usually we hear about it from, you know, like a kind of a different perspective, like fan action, where you're maybe at a concert and, you know, you receive information, and then you as a fan go out and do something. Can you talk about like, how are you thinking about that? Are you doing that side too? Or like, what does that look like for you?
For me, when I was doing like the waste diversion and composting and recycling systems work, obviously there's a behavior change and campaign, you know, component to it, where you're going out and educating the community of like, here's how you throw stuff away now.
Sure.
Like, here's the things you have to pay attention to. And of course, there's a lot of, you know, science and psychology around what actually makes people come on board with a change and actually turn that into a habit. And so we worked on that for quite a while. And then when I came back into music, I thought, I feel like one of the gaps in helping music fans to take action is that no one's really taking their hand personally and walking them through the mm-hmm. full journey of what does it take to, I want to do something, or I'm interested, to I actually am doing or have done something really impactful. And I felt like for me as an artist, especially an indie artist who doesn't have like millions and millions of fans, like the scale, you know, works for me to you know, just connect with them one-on-one or in small groups and say, what do you all want to do? And like, what's going on in your life? And, you know, what would feel fun? You know, what makes use of your current superpowers? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so that's the corner that I'm working in. And obviously the scale of it in terms of sheer numbers of people is really modest, but I feel like what I'm aiming for is like a depth of engagement. And so what's been really exciting with that is that it's fun to use, I guess you could say, that sense of excitement of like, oh, this artist whose music I love is talking to me on the Zoom call about how I might bring community solar into my, you know, township or something like that. And just to have someone, you know, like who you've already connected with on a musical level to then, you know, walk with you through that, I think is what I'm trying to do and what people get a lot out of. And it's been really cool to see what some of my fans have been able to do. Like one person did stop a solar ban in her township because we figured out that they were about to have a hearing on it where they were going to pass a solar ban. And she's like, wait, I know a lot of the township trustees, like I got to do something. So she showed up and, you know, had conversation with the folks and then they put a more, you know, they put a pause on all of that. And then she went down this whole rabbit hole of applying for DOE grants and figuring out like, does microgrids or community solar make more sense? What are the actual concerns of the farmers and, you know, other rural folks in my community? And she's become this whole powerhouse in her community, like understanding like what would it take to actually bring either utility scale or community solar or microgrids into that place. And so that's been incredible to see. And then there's some other folks who have, for example, realized that, wait a minute, I could take my software and tech background and help the local solar organization to, you know, model some of what the impacts to the grid would be. That's one of my fans who lives in Texas who's doing that now. And then there was another retired teacher who realized I could start an intergenerational book club about climate issues. And so she's been doing that for a few years now. So that's that kind of thing that I get really excited about because I feel like I get to know these incredible individuals that were always kind of a anonymous supporter of my music and listener of my music. And now I really feel like it's much more of a two-way or multi-way connection, which is selfishly awesome for me.
Yeah, I love that. And you're just, it's those little glimmers of inspiration that then cascade out into the community. I mean, yeah, Zena and I have had firsthand experience with that as well. And I mean, I remember introducing a portable industrial battery to live event and to film production. And it was the same thing. The first reaction was like, nope, not going to work. Right. And then finally, though, when they sort of internalized it and they realized it wasn't a threat and they realized that they could turn it on and it worked and then they could charge it. And then all of a sudden, you know, Zena and I always like we go back to look at this stuff. And now all those early adopters are the leaders in the movement and they're all like this is. And now we were just talking about this in the fall. It's like it's taken a whole life of its own. We were at a conference and we were like, wow, this is something that we started 10 years ago, right?
It's incredible. And
so,
you know, we're feeling.
Yeah, we're for firsthand. So it's amazing that you're able to do it. And also, though, around the world, sounds like.
Yeah, I got to hold a climate action workshop after some concerts in Germany. So a fan was able to get some space to do a little workshop. And so, yeah, I've been able to do it a little bit internationally as well, which is really fun. And I find that when I do workshops and it's not so much like one-on-one with someone who is already like, I really want to up my climate action game, but more people who might be just sort of curious about the topic. I don't know if this has been your experience, but I've often found that in some ways, the biggest contribution I can make is to kind of quiet the despair and the doomerism for a bit and help people realize that there are actually things that you can do and they're not token, they're not too small to matter. They actually are part of this huge movement of impactful actions that actually really move the needle. And that's one of the things that I try to gently nudge people to do because sometimes they start with something like, well, I guess I'm going to recycle more or I guess I could turn more lights off. You know, they kind of start there in almost like 90s, you know, environmentalism. And I try to gently say like, absolutely, you could do that if that's what you're on fire about. But you could also think about what's something beyond your own lifestyle and your own household that you could do. Like, there might be an initiative in your workplace or in your industry that you could get involved in or start. There could be local, you know, ordinances that you could help, you know, pass or, you know, or reform and things like that. And to watch people realize that, oh, right, it's not just me personally and my individual action. Like, there are things that I can do that affect things more systemically, which is really exciting.
And, you know, you're, in addition to the kind of connecting one-on-one or, you know, with, or having these in-person meetings with fans and whatnot, you're doing it also through your music itself. Can we talk about your style, your storytelling through the music and how you're incorporating the sort of, or using music as a storytelling vehicle for this?
Yeah, I've been really happy to see that I've garnered a particular kind of fan base, I guess, because of the songs that I've written. Obviously, there are some that are, you know, lullabies or romantic relationship songs and people connect with those. But I've also written songs about, it's really cool that we have global supply chains. It's really cool that we have, you know, that fossil fuels have built this incredible, you know, energy infrastructure that we take for granted. And we also could do better and need to. So it's really interesting that music can really serve as a conversation starter, that people kind of know what I'm about and what's on my mind and what I think about. And when that resonates with them, that's an amazing place to start a different, you know, a more practical conversation. And it's been really fun, too, to see in this current political era that people also appreciate that perspective taking that I do in music. Like, I'm often trying to look at things from a point of view that's different from my own. And when I bring that up in the, you know, context of what a lot of what's currently going on, people seem to resonate with that, too. They're like, oh, right. Like, it's really important to not immediately say that, like, that's the other, that's the, you know, the enemy, or that's the other side. Like, there may be a legitimate point of view, even if I don't agree with it, and there's something to work with there. So that's been really powerful as I think about, beyond climate solutions specifically, like, how can I help people, I guess, be constructive citizens, you know, so that we can all have nice things, no matter what it is, like AI or, you know, clean energy infrastructure or just, you know, a better and more humane world.
And I think, like, music taps a different side of people, right? An emotional side, a sort of, you know, there's a connection there, and it's just a different, I mean, it brings out kind of, I don't know, good in people. Like, people want to connect. So it's just a different side, and it's a different, I guess, messaging than hearing it directly or hearing it from a news program or something like that. So it's just kind of rounds out that the form of storytelling, I guess, that people are hearing.
Yeah, I often think of it as music is a way of connecting that sort of bypasses the initial small talk and all of that, and really kind of gets to, you know, what's in your heart and, you know, what's really going on with people. And I remember when I was in my graduate program before I went to McKinsey, some of my classmates were like, oh, yeah, you could write sustainability songs. And I was like, well, like, I could. But and I then when I thought more about that challenge, I thought, I don't want to be so on the nose, because people can get that from a PDF or a website or whatever. But what I can do is, yeah, like, tap into these sort of emotional stories of it and evocative, you know, poetic imagery around what's happening, and help people to be able to connect with it on that way. So instead of just intellectually thinking like, yeah, I guess we should have more solar, to thinking about like, what would it mean for me to live, you know, in a town that felt that way? Or like, what would it, you know, what would the story be of me or someone else making that happen? You know, how cool and like complicated that would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be a political, you know, thing, right? I mean, it's just people taking action, people living their lives, people wanting cleaner, safer, better communities, people wanting kinder communities, right? I mean, it's just like, there's so many other things that come out of that that don't just have to be this combative political orientation in my mind. That's
yeah. One of the projects that I released recently was this sort of mini EP called We've Got You. And I wrote one song called We've Got You and another song called We've Got You. And they were very stylistically different and they were talking about kind of slightly different things. And I wrote them, which took some doing. I wrote them so that you could play them simultaneously. And it sounds a little bit chaotic, but it actually is meant to be a sort of duet of these two very different songs kind of existing at the same time. And I really wanted to illustrate exactly what you were saying, Mark, is that it's not, you know, kind of either or all the time. There's like all these different, you know, things that all these different people bring to it and that we can work with that, you know, that's part of the richness of existing in community and in relation to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how is the reception, the media reception on this, that I'm trying to find a side that you're taking and you're like, no, it's just people. It's just like, are people a bit confused? They're like, well, what's going on here?
I don't think so. I mean, I feel like it's absolutely possible to have strong convictions and a real point of view and also be open to and like welcoming of people who feel very differently. And that, I guess that's the energy I'm trying to put out.
Mm-hmm.
Where I actually recently on social media, like said something, I felt like it was fairly, you know, gentle and thoughtful about, you know, stuff that's happening in Minneapolis and in Minnesota. And a number of people, I think, saw that and in our polarized environment just like clicked into like, oh, she's on that other side, and then just started yelling at me, you know, on the internet and in the comments. And when I responded saying, I really want to hear where you're coming from with this, like it really immediately diffused it, because they're like, wait, how can you have a real strong point of view about this and also be curious about my point of view? Mm-hmm. And what I'm trying to model, I guess, is like, that's absolutely possible, and what, you know, and if wherever we can, what we ought to be doing, you know, like being firm in our own convictions and also being, you know, in relationship and in dialogue with other people who see things very differently. And I know that in the work that you all do, that happens constantly, right? Like people are coming to the question of climate solutions or, you know, how to, you know, shift industry practices, you know, with very preconceived notions and maybe like with, you know, defenses up. And
yep.
It's the work of just having those conversations where like, we're not fighting here. We're trying to figure it out together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's nonviolent communication methods.
Absolutely.
And your music is just lovely, I will say. And reflecting the sort of, as you're, you know, talking about these, you know, what you recently did and these, you know, kind of two different perspectives on you know, coming together and that sort of thing, it's kind of really reflecting your fans. You know, maybe they're coming to your music. Maybe they just love kind of the style or, you know, whatever. And then, you know, but you're reflecting back different perspectives through the work that you're doing. And that seems so important to do. So. Have you like gotten feedback on that from your fans as well? Like, oh, I didn't know you would, you know, maybe write a particular thing or hear me. So I'm interested in that.
Yeah. I feel like that's been the most gratifying feedback that I get. Obviously it's very nice when people say, the song sounded really pretty, you know, I like, you know, having it on repeat. That's lovely. The things that are most meaningful to me are when people have like had one of my songs or some of my songs as the soundtrack of some kind of,
yeah,
you know, turning point or evolution in their own life or their own thinking. And especially, yeah, there have been a few people who have mentioned that like, oh, I didn't really get this whole We've Got You couple of songs at first. They seemed interesting, but I didn't really get it. And then they had some moment in their own life when they really had to like hold more than one truth in their head at the same time. And then that kind of became a soundtrack for them to, you know, be able to do that and to, you know, kind of work their way through it, which I love. You know, I love that music can do that for us, can be kind of the friend we need in that moment. Mm-hmm. This is not so much about, you know, climate or sustainability, but I have another song from many years back called City Hall, in which I'm telling this very subtle story of two people getting married. It just sounds like, you know, a story song about people who are finally getting married and they can't wait because it's been a long time. And there are sort of hints throughout that it's actually because same-sex marriage just got recognized and these people are making a road trip, you know, out to San Francisco to, you know, to get married. And I've heard a number of stories of families where someone who's come out has like shared that song with their parents in order to help them understand, like, this is my life and like why this stuff feels important to me. And I love that that can be like a conversation starter or the beginning of, you know, healing a divide or something that's really kind of come between people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to touch on the Grist piece a little bit. They named you one of their 50 climate innovators of 2025, or to watch in 2025. And this is alongside, you know, folks, scientists and policy people and, you know, people in technology. So what was it like to be the artist in that group of people?
Imposter syndrome central. Because as I said, like I try to have a very clear-eyed view, having worked, you know, at places like McKinsey and then
sure,
this nonprofit that we set up, like I'm very aware of the scale that I'm working at right now. And so I felt very honored and humbled and like to, you know, hang out with people who are making these incredible, you know, innovative, like, you know, things that really have a chance of like systemic shifts. Was really cool, and it really kind of made me feel like I really need to figure out, you know, how to go deeper or, you know, or more ambitious with what I'm doing, because I feel like there is a real power in being an artist and a songwriter and to tell stories like you said, like it connects with people and can move people in a way that few other things can, and I'd really love to. Yeah, do more with that, and to figure out how do I become better at it? How do I help other artists to be able to do that? How do I help other creators and musicians and artists to have the tools to do that with their own fan base? So that's a lot of what I'm thinking about now. It was also just really fun because they Grist also kindly asked me to be one of the performer speakers at the award ceremony. So I got to kind of tell my story, moth style on the stage and then like perform a song. And it was really cool to see that even these incredible, you know, scientists and, industry folks, that they really loved having a moment of music that really spoke to like, yeah, that's what I've been up to this whole time. Like,
yeah,
nice to hear it kind of made into, you know, poetry and music.
Mm-hmm. And that's amazing. And so you're still a touring musician, so that's still a part of your work. Do you have any upcoming tours? Where can people see you, interact with you? Workshops? You also do workshops as part of these concerts? Maybe just lay it out a little bit for us so we can, our fans can come find you.
Yeah, I am touring a little bit. I do have a six-year-old at home now, so I'm trying to make my tours short and also, you know, keep the climate footprint down a little bit for the time being. But I do have shows coming up in April, and then I also have a summer festival that I'm getting to perform at in Michigan over the summer. And, you know, new tour dates are kind of coming out all the time. And I do sometimes do, yeah, workshops and other gatherings at those music venues. But more importantly, I have an ongoing online community at, you know, in Patreon. And that's really kind of the heart of what I'm doing at the moment is connecting with folks online on a kind of ongoing basis. And whenever someone's interested in talking one-on-one, I'm like, great, let's hop on Zoom and let me see how I can help you out. So that's the main place to find me.
All right. Well, Vienna, it's really, really great having you on. And congratulations on the Grist list and all of the work that you're doing in your music and connecting with fans and like the ripple effect. It's just stunning to hear stories like this. And I really appreciate you sharing.
Well, I so appreciate y'all taking time for me to share what I've been up to. It's just incredible to be on the tie-in and to get to talk to two people who have been making a huge difference for this in the entertainment business and beyond.
Thank you.
And
there's one last thing is, you know, we do speak with folks like A.Y. Young, who's out there, really putting himself out there around energy, and Pete Kronowit as well.
Yeah.
You know, so so there's some fun sort of like
converging
together here.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Pete Kronowit and I got to connect a couple of years ago, and he was really helpful in helping design some of the fan actions I would do at shows. And just hearing what Music Declares Emergency has been doing,
yes.
You know, AJR and their organization, it's really inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of opportunity. It's a big opportunity space out there. So.
And I'm a big fan of people just trying stuff and like that we all try things and we learn from each other, the bigger an impact we can have.
Yep. Yeah, you're here. Thank you very much.
Our designer is Aaliyah Kane. Music is by Peter Chapman. Social media is by Sharon Ewan. Our editor and producer is Rachel Werbel.